Father, we come today verily understanding that your word is for our profit and for our benefit. And Father, we realize that every single one of us struggle with the flesh at one point or another and in some form or another. And yet you have filled us with your Holy Spirit and you have directed us to walk in harmony with and under the direction of your Holy Spirit. And you tell us that if we will do this, that we will not give in to the desires of our flesh. So, Lord, today, even as we look at a passage that we've probably seen many times before, we pray, Lord, that the timeliness of it will hit home with each of us in our own individual hearts, Lord, and that we will be willing today to just to hear and to receive whatever you would have for us individually, Lord, because our desire is to be more like Jesus. And in this passage, you show us how that can be done. We thank you and we pray now that you will take your word and use it not only to instruct us, but to transform us. And we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I've been around church life just about my whole life, so I have had plenty of opportunity to see the flesh at work in churches and in Christians and in individuals. I myself have walked with the Lord for now, let's see, about 53 years or something like that. And so I know well the struggles of the flesh and how we battle with the flesh. I also know the results when we give in to the flesh. So this is not a new thing, and this is why I call it the age-old struggle. And indeed, as long as we are in these physical bodies, we will have this struggle. There is no point at which any believer, no matter how advanced they are in their walk with the Lord, will be totally free of this struggle. The Apostle Paul was never free of it. John and Peter were never free of it. And there is no living believer who can say, I never struggle with the flesh. However, just because we cannot say, I never struggle with the flesh, is not an excuse to be living according to the flesh and giving in to the flesh. And if we will submit to the Lord and if we will follow His word, we can live in victory more than not. And I believe that that is the Lord's objective for each and every one of us. Now, in this passage, you know, Paul talks about this, and he's been writing to them about, there were some people in the Galatian church that said, well, yeah, it's good to know Jesus, but you also need to keep the law. And of course, this went against Paul's grain 100%. And if you care to read the first couple of chapters of Galatians, you will see the Apostle Paul use the strongest language, as far as I know, that he ever used with any group of people that he ever wrote to. But now he's getting down to the practical application. And the fact of the matter is that no matter how much we might want to keep the law or whatever, we are incapable of doing so. And it is a self-defeating cycle. And that is why in getting into the practical part of it, he says, folks, it's not about that. It's about living by the Spirit and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is where it is at. So today, if you're one of those who like to have notes and you like to fill in a few blanks or whatever and have it to look at later, now would be the time to get it. And we're just going to go through some of the basic things here. I have these other verses at the top. Paul writes in Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, meaning myself outside of Christ. And then Romans 6, 6 to 8. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So, under our general observations, let's start with point number one. Number one, every believer experiences a daily contest between the flesh and the spirit. Now, some days it's probably more evident than other days. Some days we may get up and feel like we're in victory and stay in victory just about the whole day. And then there's other days we may get out and it's just, you ever heard that phrase, out of sorts? We're just kind of out of sorts. And the flesh gets a good stronghold in the morning, and it seems like this thing goes with us the whole day. Now, I'm glad that when we mess up, I'm glad that there's a provision for us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess, you know, and receive forgiveness and cleansing and go on. We don't have to declare ourselves a failure and give up or anything like that. We just confess it, and then next day is a new day, and we start over. But whether we feel like we're mostly in victory on any given day or whether we feel like we pretty much lost the battle that particular day, the point is that virtually, probably every day of our physical lives, whoever we may be as a believer and however much we may know of the Lord or however long or short time we may have served Him, every single one of us experiences a daily contest, because that's what the Word of God says, between the flesh and the spirit. Now let's move on to number two. The flesh is the natural self. Ever and forever, in opposition to God, and under the influence of Satan and of this present evil world. It is our fallen self. The old NIV used to translate the flesh, the sinful nature. I have here the Common English Bible, which I've come to like quite a bit. And it just simply refers to it as selfish desires. And whatever name you want to give this, it is the natural self. And it is in opposition to the Spirit of God. And it is in opposition to the new creation that I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once I become a believer, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He says to Nicodemus, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. And only God can give us birth in the spirit by His spirit through the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can produce a new creation. Now that new creation loves the Lord entirely and always wants to do the will of God. But I'm still in my natural flesh, and my natural mind and my natural flesh still has a lot of the same habits and desires and things that it had. And in our natural flesh, every single one of us have weaknesses. For one, it may be anger. For another, it may be despondency or feelings of rejection. For somebody else, it may simply be food. I mean, who knows what it may be? But every single one of us have these natural tendencies in certain directions, and they are contrary to God and to His will and to His purpose. And these are the things that have to be brought under control once we become a believer. How are they brought under control? Just simply by force of mind or by discipline? No, they are brought under control only one way, and that is by the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God, only the Holy Spirit is able to keep your flesh in line. You yourself are not able to do it. But the Spirit of God is able to do it, if you will allow Him to. The flesh is the natural self, and just as we read up there, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. The carnal mind, I think it says in the King James, is hostile to God, is at enmity with God, actually it says in the King James, and it does not submit to God's law, nor indeed can it do so. So my old self will never, it will never want to do the right thing. It will never be in submission to God. Number three, our reborn spirit through faith in Christ is in harmony with and under the direction of the Holy Spirit and desires what God wants. Now that's the new creation. That's the new man. This one is under the direction of the Holy Spirit, not under the direction of the world, not under the direction of the flesh, but under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and responds to the Holy Spirit. Number four, to walk in the Spirit means to live daily under the Holy Spirit's direction. We look to Him for direction in our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our activities, and our responses to the people and things around us. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, as they would say. Now we're getting down to the real deal. Now we're getting down to how this thing actually works. And the application of it is very, very simple, actually. When it comes right down to it. I think sometimes we think that those who live in victory maybe have become super spiritual some way. We think that because they know more Bible than we do, or they've been to Bible school, or they spend more time in prayer every day than we do. And of course, that is a good thing to do and may help us along. But we think that because of certain things, well, that's them, but that could never be me. Now that is an absolute lie of the devil. You are either God's child or you are not. If you are not God's child, that means that you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It also means you have not been born again, and it also means that you do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you are born again, then the Holy Spirit does indwell you, and this Holy Spirit is there to give you the same victory that He would give any other believer, regardless of their title, regardless of the number of years they've been a believer, regardless of how much formal Bible training they have. That Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit is there to give you the same level of victory. But we must learn to live under His direction. And it's not difficult. It's difficult for the flesh, certainly, but it's not. It's not something that is that difficult. It is basically just how we do our day and how we approach our day. That is pretty much it. And as we go through the day, instead of just doing the first thing that comes to our mind, instead of just rattling off the first thing that comes to our lips, how many of us have ever done that? Instead of just reacting, you know, as we do, we take a minute and we say, okay, Lord, this is happening. What would You do in this situation? If this were You, and how would You have me as Your child respond to this situation? Someone told me recently, they said such and such happened, and in the old days, I've just absolutely been ballistic and absolutely been beside myself and everything else, but now that the Lord has done this work, it happened, and I was calm. Who do you think did that? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, that's just a very basic, simple explanation of this thing. So, it's yielding to the Holy Spirit. I can't, no matter how hard I try. How many have ever been on a diet? How many have been trying to behave yourselves? And then you know that there's some of that Watergate salad in the refrigerator, or chocolate pudding, or whatever your weakness may be. And you say to yourself, no, 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 I'm, and by force of will. And so here you are, literally, almost like Jesus in the garden, almost with sweat drops of blood coming from your forehead. And then in the end, you're going, oh, and open the door and eat it. And then you're happy. See, your flesh is happy because your flesh has been satisfied. So, the point here is that it's not by sheer force of will that we will ever win this battle, because we never will, because our flesh will always want that. Whatever the that may be. And will always react in predictable ways. And it only changes as we stop and we say, now, Lord, how would you have me behave here? How would you have me? And now you're in touch with the Holy Spirit. He's right there. He's been sent to be your guide. How many have heard a phrase? I've started hearing it in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years on TV and places, life coach. These people that have a whole lot of money, a lot more than I have, and probably more than most of you have, they hire themselves a person called a life coach. And this person tells them, you know, the right exercises to do and the right things to eat and the right ways. And so they have this life coach, and they basically turn their life over to this person in a way. And so they have a life coach. I don't want any human life coach, but I'll tell you one thing. I have the best life coach in the business. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already got your life coach. And his salary was paid in full about 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. And so he has been assigned, this life coach has been assigned to every single one of us who are believers. And I have the same life coach that you've got. We've got the same life coach. You ever meet somebody and say, oh, we got the same doctor. We got the same psychiatrist. We got the same... Whatever. No, we've got the same life coach. And the thing about this life coach, he knows God's will. He knows God's perfect will. And he is there to help me know that will. He is there to help me in every way. That is why he is there. And so when I turn to, oh, and he will never guide me wrong. Did you hear that? He will never guide me wrong. Your earthly life coach might make a mistake sometime, might give you the wrong advice, but this life coach will never give you the wrong advice. And so it really does come down to that daily thing and what attitude I will be approaching different things in. And it's fine to say, Lord, I'm really dreading X. You ever told the Lord that? Hey, it's a truth. I'm really dreading X today. But Lord, by your grace and by your help, would you give me your grace by your Holy Spirit that in this situation, I'm going to go into it and I'm going to go in there leaning on you. What do you think? I'm going to go in there leaning on you. I don't know all the answers or anything, but I'm going to go in there leaning on you. And you go in there leaning on Him, and in that moment, He gives you the right word to say, He gives you the right response, and you leave, and you say, what do you say when you leave? Thank you, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. You see, you can't get a life coach that can say, okay, here are all your answers for the next 2 weeks. That's not how it works. The coaching is done moment by moment. It's done hour by hour. It's done day by day, thought by thought, incident by incident. How many of you, you may have a general plan, but how many of you when you get up in the morning know every single incident you're going to face that day? I'm glad though, because otherwise wouldn't life be boring? But as things come along through the day, and it's the attitude. Lord, okay, what do I do here? And the Lord will, He will give us the right thing at the right time. And at the end of the day, we'll be saying what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. See? And how hard was it? It wasn't that hard once I started listening to Him instead of myself. It wasn't that hard. Number five. When the Holy Spirit is in control, the flesh fails. That is, and then I saw I never put the blank there, so you've already got it. It does not succeed. When? When the Holy Spirit is in control. When I have yielded to the direction of the Holy Spirit, at that point, the flesh is not in control, and so the flesh loses. And every time the flesh loses, guess who wins? I win. And the Lord wins. They had an old joke years ago down in Cuba. You'll appreciate this one. Said Fidel Castro, Raul Castro, and Che Guevara were all in a boat together, and the boat sank. Who was saved? The answer was Cuba. Well, when the Holy Spirit is in control, the flesh loses. Hallelujah. And I'm the winner. And the Lord is the winner. And when we run into these problems, it's always the flesh. It's always the flesh. It is always the flesh. When I say the wrong thing, what is it? Now, I don't mean, you know, you don't mean necessarily as people would think, but I actually do say the wrong thing. What is it? Flesh. I have the wrong reaction in a situation. What is that? The flesh. I make an impulsive decision without checking it out first. What is that? It's the flesh. And we just go on and on and on. If you don't get some, chapter 7 of Romans. It's the flesh. I mean, you read that chapter 7 and you're hurting for this man. You're like, my goodness. But he's honest and he's describing the battle that goes on. And in the end, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of this death? But he tells us plainly in chapter 7 of Romans that it is the flesh. It is the flesh that gets us into trouble every time. How do we avoid that? We are still in the flesh, in that we are still in these flesh by putting ourselves under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, intentionally and consciously, on a daily basis. That is how it is done. Now, if you start practicing this, will it go perfect all of a sudden? What did I say a few weeks ago? Have you ever really started making some progress in your walk with the Lord and everything, and then it just seemed like a whole bunch of really bad things happened real close together. How many here ever learned to ride a bike when you were kids? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't have any training wheels when I learned to ride a bike. I did it the old-fashioned way, and I've still got some of the scars to prove it. But a lot of kids do start out with the, remember those things? The what do they call them? The learning wheels or something? Huh? Training wheels. The training wheels. Maybe you need some training wheels here for a little while. That's all right. But this is how the flesh is brought under control. And this is how the Lord is brought under control. And it's not difficult. And it's not something that only the preacher can do or the deacon can do. Or the person who's walked with the Lord 30 years. Any believer can do this. Any believer can do it. Number 6. Learning to seek and follow the Spirit's guidance. And you notice it says learning. Learning to seek and follow the Spirit's guidance in all things throughout the day is the key to living a life that glorifies the Lord, promotes peace and harmony, and brings blessing to those around us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, it says in Romans chapter 8. And that's what sets us apart from the world. And it's what sets us apart from a believer that has not yet learned to do this, or for some reason doesn't choose to do this. Read 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3. He tells the Corinthians, you're still carnal. Well, carnal is just a way of saying you're still operating in the flesh. And by now, a lot of you should have been, you know, way ahead of where you're at. But he says, I'm still having to break things down for you. I'm still having to puree your food for you before I give it to you, because you're still carnal. And that is a tragedy, because the Lord just wants to lead us on. And he does that as soon as we learn to start giving into the Spirit on a daily basis. Number 7. The issue is not whether we are saved. That's not the issue. That was bought and paid for by Christ. If you have a carnal believer, or if you and I on any given moment act in the flesh, doesn't mean we're not saved. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, and nothing can ever change that. But in order to please God, and in order to be used by him, and in order to be a blessing to others, in order for him to be able to work through me the way he wants to, is it not better to be living under the direction of the Spirit than still operating in or under the flesh? So, it's not an issue of salvation. That was bought and paid for by Christ. It is rather a matter of how we will approach our daily lives as believers. And so, the flesh will always be there. The flesh will always have its desires. The flesh will always be at odds with and in opposition to whatever God is trying to do in our lives or in the lives of the people around us. But God has a solution for that, and it is that each of us, by his grace, would learn on a daily basis how to begin to get the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives through the day, just through the day, in a day-to-day type setting, in all the different, you know, the home setting, the work setting, the school setting, the business setting, all the different places, even the flat tire. What do you think? Even the person cutting us off and pulling out in front of us. What do you think? Lord, how would you have me respond, Lord? And this is how the victory will come. And this is how the Lord, this is how we'll grow and all of that. And this is God's will for all of us. So I hope this is an encouragement to you today. And again, just because you try it, don't expect that, you know, it'll all go smooth right away or whatever. But if you stick with this, one little phrase from an old song just been going as I've prepared for this, I guess, just about all week. Got one little line. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of God to me. If that's our prayer every single day, we're going to walk in a level of victory that we have not known before. I tell you what, it might get so noticeable, even some of the people around us take note of it. And that would be a good thing. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you choose us all the same way. And we all come the same way. We come through the blood. We come through the cross. We come through your Son. And you have caused us to be born again. And along with that, you have given us the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to be our life coach and to teach us how we should think, how we should react, how we should make our choices. And so, my prayer today, for each of us, guide us deeper and deeper, Lord, into your truth. Bring us deeper and deeper into your word. Not in some academic way, but in a way of really getting to know you, really getting to experience you, really getting to love you and to love our brothers and our sisters, and to react to life as it comes our way day by day. Not in our own faults or ways or our flesh, but in dependence upon and with the direction of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have given us this, Lord, as for every believer. And thank you that this is something that can be practiced. In fact, you want us to practice it every single day of our lives. Thank you for loving us that much. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.